One minute.
Inevitable. All right, good morning, everyone. Welcome. So we're going to start this regular meeting off on July 24th at 9:30 with a invocation by Director Marina West. Thank you, Marina.
Thank you. Heavenly Father, as we come today together as the Mojave Water Agency Board of Directors, staff, and stakeholders, provide us all with the wisdom to address the challenges before us. Bless our desert with precious rain. Bless our staff. Bless our community. Amen.
Mike Limbaugh, can you direct us and lead us in the pledge, please?
Ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you all. All right, we'll officially call it to order, and we'll do a roll call, Latrice.
Director Hoffman?
Here.
Director Ramirez?
Here.
Director West?
Present.
Director Limbaugh?
Here.
President Raleigh?
I'm here.
Director Page?
I'm here.
Thank you. And Director Cox is absent for today's meeting. We have presenting staff Martha Cortez and Mike Simpson. And we have online consultant Ken Kirby, our counsel, Steve Kennedy, and our general manager in attendance, Adnan Anatawi.
Thank you. All right, we'll move on to item three, which is the approval of the agenda. So we'll need a motion.
I'll make a motion.
A motion by
second.
Second by Limbaugh.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director West?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
President Raleigh?
Aye. Latrice, do we have anybody for public comments today?
No, not at this time.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll need a move the consent to adopt the board actions from regular meeting on July 10th and approve Category B payments.
Move.
Motion Limbaugh.
I'll second.
Hoffman.
Director Page?
Yes.
Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director West?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
President Raleigh?
Aye. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Item seven, consider adopting resolution number 1176-25, authorizing the placement of property liens for 2025-26. Adnan?
Yeah, good morning. Just last night at the Watermaster meeting, the Watermaster Board did certify and approved forwarding the list of delinquent assessments for placement of liens on the 25-26 tax rolls, and so to this board for consideration. So this item is covering that. We do this each and every year, and so with that, Martha has a, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, hello. So, like, he mentioned this is an annual item. Is it? This is an annual item to apply the delinquent assessments to a lien with the county. The deadline to submit to the county is August 10th, but we have given the parties a deadline of 2 p.m. on August 8th. Any payments that come in between now and the deadline will be received, and then those accounts will be removed from the list submitted to the county. So we are asking, or staff recommends approval of the lien list and adoption of resolution number 1176-25 for placement of the delinquent assessments on the 25-26 tax roll. And additionally, staff requests authorization to make any final adjustments based upon payment received prior to the submittal to the county. And I did place a list of the, yes, on your desks.
Okay, great.
Well, thank you. Is there any questions, comments from staff, from board members? Okay. I don't think we have any, so we'll need a motion to approve.
A motion.
Motion Ramirez.
I'll second.
Second West.
Director Page.
Yes.
Director Hoffman. Director Ramirez.
Yes.
Director West.
Yes.
Director Limbaugh.
Yes.
President Raleigh.
Aye. All right, thank you. Item 8, consider adoption of the policy to maximize customer value. And I'm not sure who's going to lead that.
Two weeks ago, this was presented with a full discussion and workshop. The policy that was constructed and forwarded to this board for consideration out of the ad hoc committee that met for several months. This policy is where staff is bringing to you for consideration to adopt. The changes that have been made have been included in your packets. There are two versions included. One is a cleaner copy. Second has some red line. To just summarize briefly, the red line had some editorial and grammatical changes that are noted, as well as had more explicit references to the ACT language that refers to lands and inhabitants, specifically lands of the agency as a customer or constituent of the agency. It also includes recognition that in reviewing and exploring cost benefits in the master planning process, as this policy would direct staff to prepare a master plan, would include approaches that affect economic, social, and environmental sustainability for the region. So a more explicit discussion of sort of the many factors that the agency would be charged with reviewing as part of the total package when it comes to investment decisions. And so that, with that, we want to leave it to questions or any further discussion. Ken Kirby, who presented the workshop 2 weeks ago, is available online as well. So happy to review questions or take any comments.
Great. All right, we'll start down there. Mike, do you have any questions, comments?
Couple. For those who didn't, I did write the Limbaugh letter for the my comments. It's in the packet. I'd like to thank the ad hoc committee for during this conclusion that we ended up with. And I just got to say that the agency has always, over the last 20 years, had a great strategic plan, and will continue to strive for value for our customers, and also value within the agency's consideration for the longevity of our resources that, as we know, are dwindling and are limited. So in that vein, I think moving forward with this strategic plan revision is a good thing.
Anything else, Kathy?
I have a couple of questions, comments. So I'll just start with Director Limbaugh's comment letter. So in there is a bullet about Bulletin 84. Who would update that bulletin if that was necessary? Is that us or?
That's currently a work product of the Department of Water Resources. We've never, we wouldn't have influence on that besides commenting when they produce reports.
Do we prompt that? I mean, you're talking about Bulletin 84, I guess, in the context of the Mojave area, right, Director Limbaugh? Because it covers the whole state, doesn't it?
No, it's specifically and when it was done 65 years ago, it was only for the Mojave Drainage Basin and Lucerne Valley. It did not include the total agency area because at that time the agency had a different boundary than it does now. So that's why I know in that letter I probably overstated my concern about updating that information. But based on the technology that we have now today in geological and hydrogeological investigations, which I know you're very aware of, that it behooves us, even if the state doesn't want to do it, we could do it. And that would then become the foundational document that we could build forward with our strategic plan.
So we could coordinate something, and then it might be, and that's what I was leading to, that could become a master plan project.
That's correct.
That
so,
we agreed to.
Yeah, what I would propose is that what particular investments or efforts we take on as an agency, as an organization, that is still to be, you know, discussed and determined and through a cyclical process, which we've been doing in the past, but we're formalizing how we do it and in what format we do it as part of this policy. So something like, should the agency make a formal request to the Department of Water Resources to update Bulletin 84 could be an action. Another action could be in recognizing the set of value propositions we want to deliver, including, right, water delivery from the import of water, managing groundwater basin, whatever it is that we decide together with, you know, the board decides to put in for, could a supporting activity could be development of some knowledge base or understanding of the groundwater basins in a more holistic fashion that results in an annual report or something like that. So that's totally still on the table, and to be right, that's sort of a decisions are forthcoming when it comes to master planning.
And I think in short, that's an example of a project that could
that's
be
true, yes.
on its own or part of another larger project. Okay, and then in reviewing the draft plan here, just a couple things to confirm. The cost of managing and providing water supplies are continuing to increase. Fact. And so what led us here was maybe a, and correct me if I'm wrong, a vision by staff that, hey, we need to find a more defined direction with the limited resources we have. We can't do everything everybody wants. I'm not saying that everybody's at the door right now knocking, but there's a concern that we're not going to be able to do everything maybe the way and manner in which we've done in the past. Is that a fair statement?
It is, yes.
Okay. And then 2.5, one of the most challenging responsibilities of the board and agency staff is to make decisions about how to invest the revenues provided by the agency customers that result in providing the most value possible to the customers. 2.6, the board believes that identifying, defining a more transparent, credible, and collaborative approach to how the agency will make decisions to deliver value is important given the magnitude of the changes that are occurring in the region and in the state. That's another kind of a key statement here. The board, and I'm bringing this up because maybe I saw a pendulum swing a little bit too far one way, saying, well, we're not here to tell the customers what they need. And yeah, we're not necessarily going to accept requests from customer that is, you know, we want to build a zoo, okay, with our money, right? So we're not going to let them do things that we don't think are going to bring them value. Like, that's a collaboration and a back and forth. That's a lot about this document is talking to people, or a lot about this process, right? Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay. So 2.7, the board and agency staff are responsible for discerning what agency customers and constituents want and need, not to tell them what it is, but to draw it out of them. So I can't on the dais, and I don't think Adnan can from his seat, determine what XYZ Urban Water Company needs for its future. We're here to provide the water if they ask us for the water, but we're not here to tell ABC Water Company, Urban Water, and I'm talking about large ones, what they need, right? So now we're saying, okay, we're going to do, and I think I attribute an example of this is like the integrated plan where we all got together and everybody was asked, like, throw everything on the wall. We had all the stickies, throw it all, give us everything you got. And then we had this large set of stuff, and the same thing, we had to kind of pare it down. Okay, where's the priorities? Do you really need this project, or is this planning project? Is it way out there, short term, right? And we started stacking things, and we made good progress on that. And I kind of attribute this plan in sort of the same manner, but it's written down. Like in the integrated plan, I think we were maybe guided by the state. Hey, go do something. Is that a pretty fair analogy?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. And then lastly, I think and so folks should really read this to understand that section two. But I guess my last comment was going to be, and I kind of lost my train of thought there, but I know exactly what it is. really the overarching part of this is you need to be able to manage staff, set up goals and objectives, and not get railroaded by something else. Hey, we got this grand opportunity over here. Let's go grab it. Next thing you know, we're all resources going south and nobody's going west. And now we come to our annual performance evaluation. And it's like, well, how did we do? Oh, I got sidelined. So I think you're actually trying to put some wrapping paper around that process so staff has a good feel of how they can be successful, what the reward will be at the end of that or not. And so everybody's on the same page. Is that a fair statement?
You've done a much better job than I've tried in the past to try to explain how these things are connected. So yes, I think that's very fair.
And so then in conclusion, I'll just say when there is change, which this is a pretty big change, and I know that part of this change is also so that if Adnan was to walk out tomorrow and get hit by a bus, we have process. And it's not. And so the board can say, no, we have process. We're going to go ahead and follow process. We're not going to follow feelings. And so when that happens, not everybody's happy. So for that, I apologize that not everybody would be 100% on board, possibly. I'm not saying they're not. But I know when there's change, not everybody is fully on board with that. So anyways, that's my comments on this plan. Lastly, I just want to say, since Director Cox is absent, did you receive any feedback that she's comfortable with us proceeding?
I spoke to Kimberly earlier this week just to check in to see if there's any concerns she wanted me to bring or any comments, and she seemed to be fine with it.
Okay, because I was going to suggest that if she needed to be here, maybe we delay, but I'll leave that to you and the board, rest of the board. I'm comfortable proceeding, and again, it's something that is... we can always come back and look at, right?
Yes.
It's not stone.
Working in progress.
Thank you.
Jesse.
Yeah, just reiterate what has been said. It's always great to have to maximize the value, customer's value, and this is a step in the right direction. And as it's been said, it's a, you know, change can always can occur, and it's work in progress.
Ken, I see you online. There's anything you want to add? Before we move forward,
I'll say thank you to the ad hoc committee. They dedicated a lot of time and energy for us to really work through some difficult topics, and so that allowed us to form this collaborative policy. I also do want to clarify, there have been some comments and statements made that refer to this policy as a plan, but this is a policy to create a plan. We will update the strategic plan to be consistent with it, and this strategic implementation framework will guide the creation, ongoing cyclical creation of a master plan. So I just want to clarify, this document is not a plan, it's a recipe for how we're going to create a plan and use the information to make decisions.
Great.
I apologize.
Director Page, I know you're online there. Would you like to add any comments, questions before we move on?
Absolutely. I certainly do. I'm glad that Ken mentioned about the recipe, because once this is done, it's going to give us a roadmap and guidance. And I really appreciated the couple of comments that were made that were sent in that we could read. And I just want to refer to one about running the agency like a business. When I was elected to the board in the early 2000s, maybe it was not said out loud in the meetings, but all I heard amongst several board members, but mostly from the general manager and some staff, was about running the agency like a business, not running it like a typical government agency. So I don't think that's anything new. I think we're just using those words more often now, and I think it's really set our agency, separated us from some others. But we've also made some mistakes along the way, and I'm going to bring one of those up, where I think that when we have this recipe, as Ken brought up, maybe we'll be able to stay away from the mistake from some of the mistakes we've made in the past. We put $2 million worth of water into Baja because we had an outlet, not where the population was, and it's basically a stranded investment. I think if we would have a recipe like this and some guidance, that we'd be able to go to that and go, yeah, that sounds good. The population's going to think it's a great idea, but it's not going to bring any value. We're just putting water or money in the ground that actually won't be accessible to most of the population. I think that's what's going to help with this, and that's why I really like this. It's going to send us to a new stage of running the agency like a business, something I think that unless you work with other government entities, which I did in my previous job for years, you really see the difference in the Mojave Water Agency versus some other agencies. Not necessarily here. A lot of the local governments run pretty well, but there's some things that happen in other places where, oh, let's just raise the taxes. We can look at the state of California. That'll take care of the problem. And they don't really look at efficiency. So really like this policy, and I'm certainly a big proponent of it. Plus, I sat on the committee and really appreciated that opportunity. Thank you.
Good comments, Mike. Thank you. And with that, I'd like to thank everyone for all the hard work and the general manager for bringing this forward. And this is important for an agency to do this. It was good. A lot of good comments, too. So with that, we need a motion to consider the adoption of the policy to maximize customer value. So
I'll make the motion.
We have a motion by Marina.
The policy, not the plan.
And I'll second it.
Second by Director Page.
Director Hoffman?
Yes.
Director Ramirez?
Yes.
Director Cox? I'm sorry, she's absent. Director Page?
Yes.
Director West?
Yes.
Director Limbaugh?
Yes.
President Raleigh?
Aye. All right, thank you, everyone, again. Move on to item 9, manager's reports for engineering, operations, finance, et cetera.
Thank you. Yes, a couple reports. I want to start with Mike Simpson, who will try to summarize briefly some of the ongoing items that engineering operations is currently managing and working on. This was a request out of the PREO committee, I want to say a week ago. And so with that, Mike, go ahead. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Adnan. Good morning, President Raleigh, members of the board. As we are bringing this up, like Adnan had indicated, just a quick brief update on some of the projects that engineering operations has been working on. A lot of this was covered, actually all of this was covered in our planning resources, engineering and operations committee last week. So I'll try to keep it brief. But if you have any questions, feel free to stop me. All right, starting off with the Mojave River Pipeline Traveling Screen Project. Over the last several months here, staff and our consultants have been reviewing the submittals and the requests for information on the long lead items for this project. So we know we have a short time frame to get this project completed. As you can see here, the substantial completion date is still scheduled for March 31st of next year. And as of right now, we're still on schedule. So we've been reviewing those items and getting those submittals turned back around as quick as we can, especially on those long lead items. There is a groundbreaking ceremony that is next week, July 31st. Hopefully most can attend. Moving on to our R-cube chlorination project. This is to achieve a more uniform chlorine residual within our R-cube potable water distribution system. Adura has been performing the preliminary design part of this project, and they've proposed three alternatives, and they are currently looking at those alternatives and doing a cost analysis on those. So more to come on that particular project and the cost associated with it. There's two separate projects here. R-cube pipeline crossing Highway 395. Let's see, can you see my cursor? There you go. So that's this section here. If you recall back in, it was November of 2023, we had that large R-cube leak that happened on the pipeline at the Highway 15 crossing. That was in an area that was a drop section, so we had to drop our pipeline underneath the 15 freeway. Going over here to Highway 395, we have a very similar situation, not as deep, but we still have probably 13 feet to the top of our pipe. And staff had identified some, this is a zoomed in photo here, staff had identified some settlement right here in the pipeline. So we were concerned that were we having the same situation occurring as we had at the 15 freeway over here. So we wanted to take some proactive measures and have our on-call consult or on-call contractor dig up this portion of the pipeline so we could get in there and take a look, see if there are any voids. And we actually took some compaction tests in that immediate area to just get an idea of what is the compaction. We didn't see any immediate concerns or needs to make any repairs at this time. The compaction tests were a little less than what we would typically see. So this is something that staff will continue to review and possibly make some recommendations or repairs into the future. Now, just downstream of Highway 395, a whole separate incident. In this housing track here, there's a section of pipe about a half mile long here that requires some trench repairs. There's been some settlement throughout this whole area. We are working with the city of Victorville on plans and specifications, costs associated with this, agreements on repairs. So we will be making some of these repairs in the near future, and you will be hearing more and more of this here at the PREO committee. I think I got about two more slides here. On our pressure reducing valves, you've probably kind of been following along if you've been listening to PREO. As to these pressure reducing valves, also known as PRVs, we have several, when I say several, probably 10 to 12 within our agency. These are large diameter pressure reducing valves that control flow and pressure. We have had several kind of disintegrate themselves or destroy themselves as we provide water, recharge water at our facilities. So staff sent out a request for proposals several months ago for different design of valves and a different design for installation as well. And we've received three different proposals, and staff performed some other interviews with other state water contractors based off of some of those proposals that we had received and the types of materials that they were used, the methodology used, the technology used, materials used, all that we took in consideration and try to get a better understanding of what is being used out there with similar contractors like us. And based off of our research, staff will be coming to the board and committee and making a recommendation. We have an idea of what we want to use, but we have not proposed that to a committee yet. So based off of what the board had just discussed on the last item, pending the master plan and strategic plan recommendations, staff will be presenting this to PREO and to the board in the near future. And my last slide here, these are developer-initiated projects. This project here, Turnout 5, this is a turnout that is branching off of our R-cubed system. This would be a new turnout for the city of Victorville, so we would be providing additional potable drinking water from the R-cubed system to the city of Victorville. Right now, we're in the plan and specifications revisions and working with the city of Victorville on that project right now. Another developer-initiated project is the Lanes Crossing. This is a residential housing tract just upstream of the Highway 395 project and the Mesa Street project. This housing tract is proposing to put approximately 13 or 14 feet of fill on top of our pipeline. And so as a result of that, the developer is responsible for relocating our pipeline. So we've been working with this company, LGI, and working on an agreement for that. And legal has been involved with this as well. And last but not least, the BNSF's relocation of our Mojave River pipeline. It's approximately 6 miles worth of pipeline, 48-inch diameter, in the Linwood area. We have a recharge site right here. It's not Linwood, it's the Hodge area. This is a Hodge recharge facility here. But there's approximately 6 miles worth of pipe that needs to be relocated because of the big project going on in Barstow. So we've been working with BNSF's consultant on the relocation of this pipeline, and we will continue working with them now and into the near future. So more to come on this project as well. And that concludes my update. I'm here to answer any questions that you may have at this time.
Thanks, Mike. Any questions for Mike?
I do. Mike, on that BNSF project, is that going to change the location of the Hodge outlet?
At this time, no. Our flow control facility is here near the center of the river. That will stay, but just, I'm going to say, maybe a quarter of a mile prior to that. From this location here, 6 miles this direction, southwest, is where we will be affected or pipe will be replaced.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Yes, sir.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Just one more quick update. Just wanted to clarify for the record, Tuesday we had a regularly scheduled LLCP meeting. Just due to, it was open and closed immediately because there wasn't a quorum or a lack of committee members who could participate. But we still held an informational meeting, so that was shared and it was recorded and it has been included in our, just for transparency. We sort of still share that same information, but no action was taken or no decisions were made. So thank you for going with the flow of that, Chair Ramirez at the time, and for those who participated. So thank you. Just wanted to make sure that was clear. And that concludes my reports.
Great, thank you. All right, Steve, anything from legal? I know we have a closed session.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Yeah, that's all I have is that we do have a closed session at the end of the meeting.
Okay, thank you. Director's reports. I'm sorry, anybody have anything from Marina?
Thank you for the explanation about the LLCP. I was having glitches on my end too. And then, anyway, so that explains it. I was trying to pick up portions of that. I just want to make a public comment here as a director. From the dais, things maybe are said, delivered based on information that were provided. You know, a lot of times we don't have everything. We don't know much beyond what's provided. So, you know, we get agendas, we come to committee meetings, we listen. We have, you know, not too much time to absorb everything. There's only, you know, a 72-hour or more time frame. So context is pretty external, I think, and not internal to the organization. And, you know, brevity is usually the goal, so we're not rambling on. But sometimes you're speaking in support of one issue can have the opposite effect elsewhere. I'm commenting on, say, maybe one thing, yet it's interpreted as commenting about something else. And the dynamics and perspectives and experiences and feelings, and I was thinking, you know, the eighth wonder of the world is the human brain, right? And how we all interact. So no one is perfect. And when it is brought to your attention that a statement has upset someone, then the appropriate thing to do is apologize. And it's never been my intention to hurt anyone's feelings. So if the words I have used in the past made someone feel uncomfortable or otherwise, I want to thank you for the opportunity to apologize. Thank you very much.
All right, anybody else have anything? Mike?
Mike?
I see you thinking. No? Kathy? All right, with that, anything from discussion for next or future agendas?
I just have one item.
Okay.
And it's not an item that we take action on, but something at the Water Master meeting last night, a group of residents came and talked about somebody transporting water out of our agency. If that in fact is happening, I hope we're doing something about it. I would like to hear on that item in the future at this board meeting.
Thank you for bringing that up. I'm pretty uncomfortable about.
I don't want to upset you.
How? No, I mean I'm pretty uncomfortable about what their statements were. It may not all be actual fact, but
no, but it was in
whatever our role is. We right. need to be standing on our role yes. and not passing the buck. So yeah.
We're going in.
Kathy.
Yeah, I can. You could. With those comments being made. Our legal counsel has reached out to them, had a conversation last night, so work is in progress to try to rectify that, just so everybody knows.
Yes, and staff will be actively working with those constituents and understanding what the issue is. So my understanding is that there has been some investigation, some exploration. We'll see and bring to this board or Water Master Board, wherever appropriate, the sort of courses of actions we can take, we're authorized to take, and you know make decisions from there.
Thank you. Anything else?
That concludes my reports.
Okay. All right, that brings us to closed session. So we have a brief closed session item that should take just a few minutes, and then we'll back out for the rest of the... we'll come back out, at 10:15. We'll be back in just a few minutes.
Thank you. We are back in session.
Lisa, are we live? Oh, okay. All right, great. So we do have just one item to report out from closed session, and I'm going to defer over to legal, Steve Kennedy. Steve?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Board met in closed session to discuss the items identified on the agenda. With respect to item number 14, the board unanimously approved a settlement agreement that was proposed by legal counsel with Director Cox absent. With respect to the remainder of the closed session items, no reportable action was taken.
Okay, great. Thank you. With that, we will adjourn this meeting. At 10:21, and we will begin the birthday party. All right, thank you, everyone. It's coming.